Pushkin. Before we get started, let's talk about Pushnik. Pushnik is a subscription program available exclusively on Apple Podcast subscriptions. Members will get access to bonus content, like extended versions of our Beastie Boys and Brian Eno episodes. You'll also get ad-free listening to many of your favorite podcasts like Revisionist History, Cautionary Tales, The Happiness Lab, and ours, Broken Record. You can try it for free for 7 days. Sign up for Pushnik and Apple Podcast subscriptions. I did this all for you. Brockhampton's original members formed after posting on a Kanye West fan message board and started making music in the Woodlands, Texas, a pretty unassuming suburb of Houston. Since that time, they've turned the idea of a boy band on its head. With as many as 14 members at times, Brockhampton's deconstructed the traditional pop star rap ethos by being unapologetically inclusive of racial and sexual identities, and not letting any one sound define them. Today, Brockhampton's frontman Kevin Abstract talks through the group's sixth and latest album, Roadrunner, New Light, New Machine, with Rick Rubin. In an effort to recapture the spontaneity of their early career, the group all crashed together at Kevin's house while recording their new album. We'll hear Kevin talk about how the project slowly evolved from a pop album to something darker and more rap-driven. Kevin also explains how supporting one of the group's members through losing their dad became the album's creative thrust, and talks about why their next album will probably be their last. This is Broken Record, liner notes for the digital age. I'm Justin Richmond. Here's Rick Rubin with Brockhampton's Kevin Abstract.
What's been going on since I saw you last?
The last time I saw you had like a super early version of the album, and then we just started working super hard on it right after.
Even then, I remember you had already been working on it for the longest ever.
Yeah, like 2 years, which is a very long time for us.
Yeah.
Because usually it's like we'll spend 6 months at most. Like that'll be long for us. Mm-hmm. So 2 years was a lot. But you were so excited off of the more rap-driven stuff.
Yeah.
So it made us just like go in and make a bunch of rap stuff.
It seemed like you had the same, like when we were listening to it together, I don't think I was alone in feeling that. Like I felt like, I don't know, seemed obvious.
Yeah, I agree. It just felt right. Just new for us, really. Because the last album we put out, our biggest song was like an R&B song. So it was fun to do something that was like super left. It was more challenging too.
Yeah. In the group songs, how do the, again, because there's so many voices, how did decisions get made? How does it end up being whatever it ends up being? Everyone shows their ideas?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
We keep the mic on, and if anyone has something to say, you just record it, and we'll record all the ideas, everyone's ideas. No one's like left out of that process. And then basically me and Romil will just sit there and go through it and be like, oh, we think the song should be like this. Like yeah. This like 32 bar verse you did might make sense if we chop it up and turn it into a hook or something, and then maybe re-record it and then feels more like a chorus or something. And it's kind of just like just pure expression, fun, letting everyone just do their thing, whatever you got to say, you know.
And at that point in time, would the song have a shape yet, or it would just be like a long track?
A long track, maybe a loop. I love starting with loops, you know, just like a vibe, and then just throwing ideas at the wall, freestyling, passing the mic around, like just fun shit like that.
Cool. Yeah. And if you, before editing it, if you were to listen to all of the ideas, might that be an hour of ideas or 10 minutes of ideas?
I think it depends on the energy of the room. Like if people are really inspired that day, it might be like hours, yeah. Sometimes people will be freestyling, they nail their whole like idea within that freestyle within like 30 seconds or something, so. Really just depends.
It's an amazing ability, the freestyle, like to get the freestyle that feels like I wouldn't touch it.
Right.
And then it's incredible.
When I was a kid, one of my friends told me that Dre used to like let Snoop just freestyle, and then Dre would just like cut up the best parts of the freestyle to make a verse. Don't know if that's true or not, but like I just held on to that for so long and applied it to just making stuff with Brockhampton. It's pretty fun.
Really cool. let's say you hear all the ideas and then you have a vision of what it's going to be and you edit it down, might then someone come back around and say, okay, based on what it is now, I have a new idea and I want to add it in? Does that happen sometimes?
Yes, that happens all the time.
And how often does the music change from the beginning, from the when the vocals first, when the vocal ideas first go on the track?
Mm-hmm.
How often does the music change after that?
Almost every song.
Really?
Yeah, almost. Because what happens with me is like I'll like it when we're making it, but then like this feels kind of generic or feels stale. I think just because I hear it for so long in the room on loop while everyone's writing,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just be inspired to like take it to a completely different place, which sometimes doesn't make sense, and then we stick with the original.
Yeah.
So that's why like sometimes it stays there, but usually we always end up somewhere else.
This probably has an interesting effect on the vocals too. When you write to one thing and then change the music, I imagine it could bring out something different in the vocals than was originally there.
Always, yeah. And sometimes it sounds off a little bit, but I like that too.
Yeah, it could be. It could really make sense in an off way. It could be interesting. Right. Maybe we start listening. I'm anxious to kind of hear where it ended up.
I live my mom's apartment in the same house my dad died in, all alone. Trying not to be paranoid, trying not to, as they're calling it. Because every headline is a reminder that the world's fucked. So I'm just trying to see the light in between the clouds. Still love that sunshine.
When I look at myself, I see a broken man. Remnants of my pops, put the Glock to his head. Nothing ever go as planned, couldn't make amends. Forcibly pretend I don't give a damn. At a loss, aimless, 6 feet deep, suffocating. Can't face it, can't change it, ain't make it. Master plans by the maker, I see no savior. Morbid reflection is stainless steel. Alcohol and pills, deadly combination. Left with nothing else to feel, a floral haven. Hope it was painless, I see you in the faces. Places am I making? Reflections off a broken mirror. Fragments of my fear glaring back like who's there. I can't stand myself beside myself, I see you there. I know you care, felt numb since September when I heard the news. What I do to speak one last time? Think I always will be haunted by the image of a bloody backdrop. Skull fragments in the ceiling, felt your presence in the room. Heard my mother squealing, master of disguises. Ash to ash, dust to dust, voids behind my eyelids. Blacking out, bleeding out, silence. Louder than a twisted tongue lying. As sick as our secrets, shadow people and needles fading through a peephole. Bedtime stories from purgatory, I miss you. For the record, I can fly around the world, absorbing light. Something's missing deep inside. Something changed in Texas. Guess I missed a message. Look, I missed my exit. I'm living like a Jetson. I was broken, desperate, leaning on my best friends. Only shot callers I was around was bartended. Ain't no love in this game, I'm out, this is not tennis. Take your shoes off, we just did the carpets. And I could take the hating, I could take the praising. It's all noise to me, I'll turn into Satan. Y'all stuck in the matrix. Red pill, blue pill, all these different faces. All these different cases, shit, y'all done see me naked. So I'ma wear what I want now and I ain't finna fake it. Thank God I made it, thank God I seen God last summer. I was standing on the bridge, I see all y'all under me. Know y'all struggling. We're losing God and everything is tumbling. Feel heaven rumbling, the rapture is coming. I love the attention, I'm a bastard in public. I still struggle with telling my mom who I'm in love with. Subtleties in between, where these diamonds gleam. When Thanksgiving come around, I still don't see him. When Christmas come around, nigga, I still don't see him. So the world who I was before I got to know Ian. To give my people money in exchange for their freedom, I would give it all back for a chance.
Where did the sample at the beginning, the talking sample, come from?
I was listening to 2001 by Dre, like, every day while working on this album. And I think it's the beginning of Fuck You. There's, like, this this girl talking on the phone. I just thought it'd be cool to have, let the audience know this is, like, where the journey starts, where the story starts, like, really with the album. So I just called Joba. He's on the first verse, and the album's pretty much about him losing his father, basically, and us being there to support him and, like, following him towards the light, and him sometimes following us towards the light, like, just this idea of brotherhood and all that kind of stuff. So I just called him and just put the phone next to the mic and, like, interviewed him and talked for, like, 20 minutes kind of. And then he sat with us and we picked the moment that kind of, like, summed up the song the best, and then just made so much sense.
It's so cool, and it just feels so personal and real. And
he was getting very, very honest on the call. It was
you
really
feel
cool.
It
just walking around, like,
you feel it,
smoking, talking, opening up. It was cool.
Very beautiful, and I love the music. It's so cool. Sounds like, what was the inspiration, do you know, for the music?
The original song was like 8 minutes long, and everybody was on it, everyone in the group. And it was very hard, but it was slow. And then there was this moment where Joba's verse, when I heard it, I was like, it'd be cool if it got super, like, 60s, like, rockish, and, like, a full-on departure from what the original song was. And the original was, like, a kind of, like, 90s rap, but, like, modern drums on it, like, mood-wise. And we all ended up liking Joba's verse over this, like, rock sample so much that we just ended up making the whole song be that. And then our friend Baird, him and his brother, like, redid the sample in terms of mood. Yeah. They made, like, a new version of it. Yeah. And that ended up being that song. And that's my favorite on it too.
It's so cool. It's so cool. So it reminds me, like, an Italian horror movie, you know, like 60s Italian horror movies.
Yeah.
Dario Argento, Mario Bava, those kind of movies, like, from another time and from another place, but rock, but from another place, you know, like, it has that international flavor.
That's cool.
It's really cool.
We had retro futurism written out, and we had that on the wall in the studio, and that was kind of like the idea. So, like, if you hear the album or look at the videos, you don't really know what time period it's from. It could be, like, super modern, it could be nostalgic, like a mix of it. Kind of wanted
super album
to
cool like, and it sounds almost like retro sci-fi, like that could be a sci-fi music from a 70s sci-fi movie.
Yeah, that's also the other thing we're chasing. Cool that you hear that. That's awesome.
Yeah, you feel it. It's great. Let's hear the next one.
A million little pieces all add up to nothing lately. Swim within my bed sheets. It's something like a celebration. What's the occasion? What's the occasion? I know I swear like a loan. See this house ain't like home. If I could swallow my pride, would you admit when you wrong? I know it's easy to just skip it, flipping out and you gone. Maybe I wouldn't be so tested when you came for my glow. Got dinner on the kitchen table, make sure everyone know. I made my Sunday mornings feel like Friday nights. I feel like booby miles under these Friday lights. Ready to pounce on any pussy-ass bitch come for my life. I'm tired of validation. I'm tired of wondering what the fuck I gotta do to save you. You been in this shit for years, I can't be a savior. How to speech with Satan, on my knees I pray on. Everything I say, breaking it up.
A million little pieces, all out of. Nothing made me swim within my bed sheets. It's something like a celebration. What's the occasion? What's the occasion? I stay running from something I can't see. True colors blinding. Fuck away from me. Gunning for something I don't need. I lead two lives, find me. Who's to blame, who's to say I lead? Forced to change, forced to face my seat. Break a bit, breaking in, timely. Good on my own, but I've been feeling alone. I gotta go, don't ask why. Watch the dominoes and the time fly. Either way it goes, scribble out a line. Get the picture, different from when I'm with you. A million little pieces
so cool.
Thanks.
Great.
That's one of my favorites.
It's really unlike everything else. And yeah. But it still fits and it's beautiful. I love it.
I think it was a loop. I think like Romeo had it planned and Joe was just there on the mic and like he showed me his verse and the hook and I don't think he knew what it was yet.
Did it already have all the guitars on it?
Not all the guitars. It was like, I don't even know if what was playing like stayed on the track because we redid a lot of the guitars and stuff.
But it had a rock feel like this?
Not even. It was very like indie bedroom feel.
Yeah.
You know, like there was like a drum break and like a lead guitar. And I think we were all just like right into that. It was moodier. It was closer to like how the song kind of starts.
It's so cool. And also the songwriting style is really different. Like it's not rap and it's not pop. You know, it's like it's just a whole different, more rock, really. But it fits.
That's like just what I want to hear from us.
It works.
Thanks.
We'll be right back with more from Kevin Abstract and Rick Rubin after a quick break. We're back with more of Rick Rubin's conversation with Kevin Abstract. But first, here's their new song, When I Ball, from Roadrunner New Light, New Machine.
My mama said I didn't come into this world with tears. Instead, I welcome how I open eyes and open ears. But came the glue to a few things that couldn't be repaired. We saw a future in each other, blended hope and fear. Some things you don't get to decide, it's just the fate you share. I used to try to hold the weight that she would need to bear. While Shark was going on vacation for a couple years. When they came back, they needed clothes, I had no souvenirs. I pick up the phone, they calling us from correction. But nothing is wrong, it's filling my heart with questions. My mama is home. I'm following her expressions, her dropping a tone, some things that she had to mention. I nodded, I listened, she had all of my attention. When you on your own, there's gonna be some directions. I need you to follow, we'll never make an exception. I nodded, she held me and wished I would be protected.
You always used to tell me.
On my sucker free shit, since I was a fetus. Pulling up at the dock in a Mazda 626. And my dad was tripping bad, hit the gas like car chase. Light blue in the bag, mama getting labor pain. Drop my sister at the bowls like house was 23. Sweat dripping down the face like river running free. Dark morning with the fog pouring in and out the trees. Every moment through their eyes seem to zoom at light speed before me. She lost one stillborn tragedy. Gritting the teeth down to the root, pain like a cavity. Holding hands like they glue, radio channel on news. Valentine's with an X up on the calendar, they knew I would be a fucking baller like them posters on the wall. A little stain could be the beauty in it all. The mist started trouble, most your luck was rubbing off. Sticking to you like Mars, you my cape, you my rock.
Forever.
Strings are so cool.
Really cool. That one's different too because the beat was just sent to us. It's Chad Hugo.
Wow.
We're like, oh, this is cool.
We killed it. Yeah. I love it.
It's so good. We had the lyrics already for the verses for another song that we couldn't finish. And then Dom had the idea of just putting his verse on that track.
And did it come in with all of it, like all like that?
Yeah, I think the only thing... I think Baird did some additional like drum programming on it. And then I think Chad wanted to like add some strings at the end, like live strings, but we ended up liking the program strings more. Yeah.
It's so good. It's cool. Cause it feels like it comes in hard hip hop.
Yeah.
But as soon as you hear the chord changes, it's got this like wistful energy, completely different. And the two together makes it really new. So good. So good. And the strings are great.
Yeah, he killed it.
I love it. Good work, Chad.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Great work.
When you first heard the track, did you know that you want to do something with it?
I think it scared me at first a little bit because I'm just so used to our sound.
Yeah.
You know, so hearing something that is out of our world a little bit, there was some fear there. And then once I realized I was scared of it, I kind of like just leaned into it. I'm like, this could actually be kind of cool on the album.
It's great. And it sounds really good coming after what it came after. It really works in the sequence.
Awesome.
It's good, man. Beautiful song.
Thanks.
How do lyrics typically come to you?
I guess I usually follow the sound of the track. And like whatever emotion the track pulls out of me, I'll kind of like lean into that and follow that.
Will you start with cadence before you start thinking about words?
Usually, always cadence or melody. On this album, though, I was thinking about the words first, actually. Just trying something different, seeing where I would land, you know.
Would you write lyrics independently of writing to the track? Like, would you just write, if you hear a phrase or if you come up with a phrase, would you have a note of?
I think I would hear, we'd all be in the room together, the track would be playing, and then I would, like, just leave the room and walk around the house or the neighborhood or something and just, like, think of lines that felt true to the emotion that the track pulled out of me, you know? And I wasn't thinking about cadence at all. I was just thinking about, like, what do I want to say and what does a song need me to say, you know? And am I even needed on this song? That kind of thing. Which would be helpful, though, because then once I had a better idea of what I was trying to say, I could go in and listen to the other verses from the guys and give a more, like, useful critique, constructive. It wasn't so, like, do I like it or not? Different approach for me.
And it starts with you writing. How do you decide whether it fits into the Brockhampton world or whether it fits into Kevin Abstract solo?
I think it's an emotion thing as well. Like emotionally, if it feels like so true to me and something like
more personal.
More personal, more yeah. Vulnerable. I might like want to save it for my own thing.
Makes sense. Personal statement.
Yeah.
That's what your album is. So yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. But sometimes I like being super personal in the group stuff too, because I feel like the guys like protect me in a way, mm-hmm. You know, and like having them like stand next to me makes me feel a little bit more comfortable with saying something that I might not be comfortable with saying on like on my own song or something.
Interesting. So in general, on this album, the lyrics always started based on the music. Like you'd hear the music, you'd find the emotion in it, and then you'd think about what you want to say, and then it would build from there.
There's some songs where it was like, I want to make a song where there's like aggression, and we didn't have the track yet. So it was just listening to a bunch of music, and then you find that one sample. It's like, oh, that's it, you know? And then I can go and write my rap based off that.
I see. But it would always be the energy. It would never be like the words or the phrasing that you would have in advance. It would be more like the emotion.
The emotion.
And then you would find music that captures that emotion and then write to that.
Exactly.
It's interesting to talk about because there's no right way to do it. Everyone finds their way in. And sometimes when we're listening to music, knowing what the artist was thinking or what the process is just gives more like, I wouldn't say it changes the listening experience, but just maybe can deepen it.
Yeah. My first goal was to make a pop record, like just like big pop songs, super melodic, fun, and just like summertime, because I felt like the last one was pretty sad. And then as the year went on and got all crazy, like I just felt like I wanted to do something that felt that represented life more. So it just became like a darker, more like rap focused album. And I was listening to like a lot of Dre and Beastie Boys and stuff like that. And I was like, this could be like way more fun, way more interesting. More challenging.
I remember when we talked about early, we had a conversation where you were asking about if you made a pop record, how could you make it where it's interesting and challenging? Mm-hmm. And we talked about, I remember the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
That it'll be fun whenever you get to crack that code. That'll be another great thing whenever that happens. You know?
I kind of want to do that for the next one. I was thinking cool. Yeah. The next one is supposed to be our last one.
Tell me about that.
I don't know. I think it's like, I don't want to overdo anything, and I don't want to end the group, but I want to like just stop putting out albums as a group and then let everyone just go off and do their own thing. And maybe in a few years we come back if like we're inspired to.
But so it's not a breakup. It's more just a, let's not do this for a while.
Yeah. Or maybe let's not do this ever again.
Yeah. We'll see. No future plans.
Right.
How's the general consensus feeling about that? Are people excited about it or afraid?
I think people are excited to get out and just like do their own thing, because a group can be restricting in that way creatively, because it all has to like filter through me or Romil. So I feel like creatively some people are like held back at times. They might want to like do this super like trap focused song and it doesn't make sense for the current aesthetic of the album or something, you know, so, or a super pop song or whatever, you know. So it'd be cool to like just see where everyone goes.
Is everyone still living together or no?
Not anymore. For this album though, we did it at my house, so it was cool. We all were like under the same roof, air mattresses and all that stuff.
How would you say that the group has changed over time? Like from the early days to now, how would you describe the differences?
It's not a good thing to say, but I would say it's less fun making music for sure.
You think because it's less new?
I think so. I think it's like, sorry, we're getting together to make an album. But before it was like, oh, let's make an album. It's going to be crazy. Like what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. Why else might it be?
Yeah, I guess it's just not that fun sometimes when it's like making an album because you know you have to make it isn't like, just doesn't feel the same.
You know you don't have to make it if you don't want to. You know that.
Yeah, no, I know, I know. Which is why it's like, yeah, this should be the last one for a while.
Would you say creatively anyone's grown apart or no? It's just we've done this.
Creatively, I don't think, maybe a little bit, but not in the, like, not in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in general, people are just growing apart, like just getting older. It's not the same because we don't live together and we're not like always hanging out and talking like the way we used to. So it definitely feels different. It's a hard thing to navigate because we want to keep doing it. It's just like not as exciting.
Yeah.
But the end result always makes us very excited. Like once we get through and we listen back, it's like, wow, this is amazing. This is fun.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. And I could see how that, like, the more you do it, the less fun it could get.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes sense.
Especially with so many people.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to make everyone happy. I want everyone to like the final sequence, to like the artwork, everything. Yeah. So I think it just gets like draining sometimes.
It does seem like if everyone likes it, it's probably better. You know what I mean? Like if it passes the test of everybody in the group.
If we're all excited and we
love it. Yeah, it's like it kind of makes it bulletproof in a way. It's exactly. You know,
and then we could all be, you know, confident with it when we have to go promote it and talk about it. And then if people don't like it, at least we know that we love it.
Absolutely.
That's way.
Absolutely. It'd be a fun thing to think about if and when you decide to do more. How could you set it up where it doesn't feel like you're just doing another one? You know, where it really feels like this is some crazy, like you set up the situation to be a crazy situation that you're excited about. Could be like doing it in a, you know, in a country where maybe nobody speaks English, or like, you know, introducing some foreign element.
Just make it feel new again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be interesting.
No, that'd be great.
Because it feels like the headspace really plays into both if it's fun and how good it is.
Yeah. This was hard to make because we wanted it to feel focused and not just like cool vibe songs like we normally do. Like it's like say whatever you want and we'll move on.
Yeah.
Really like taking time to just get the words right, get the messaging right, and like understand what we were trying to say before even saying it, before writing the song. So I think that was like, we had to like step it up as writers, you know, and really like push each other to say new things, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like with a lot of the Brockhampton songs, at this point, I've kind of said like the same things in so many different ways. So I was like, how can I make it feel new, like you're saying, you know?
Thinking another thing you can try next time that would be different, really different, especially because this one took the longest, would be to impose a really tight schedule. Like saying, you know, we're going to be somewhere all together for, I don't know, a month. And in that month, we got to start to finish. It's got to happen in a month. And everybody come prepared. Like, you know, like come with any starting points, but don't share them, you know, until we get like, it all starts the day we walk in. And
that's cool.
Yeah. It's like, again, it'll make it fun because it's not just this endless process and could be sort of an antidote to the last one of just like, this is the, it's on and then it's over. So enjoy it, you know, enjoy this little window. Cause
that's cool.
Yeah, it could be fun.
That's an exciting idea.
Yeah. It's like, again, it's like any opportunities to find a way to set up the situation to where it's a new challenge. You know, it's a new, makes it fun.
I like that.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more from Kevin Abstract. We're back with the rest of Rick Rubin's conversation with Kevin Abstract. Here's their new song, Don't Shoot Up the Party.
All American self-hatred runs deep. White boys, all I see whenever I sleep. Niggas think I think these thoughts on purpose, but I knew about NSYNC, foe, cash could rule me. Colonized minds by masters and slaves. They both hate niggas and like niggas the same. Homophobic, I tried to gangbang. I tried to get laid, I had to get paid. Hopped off the ship, I land on my feet. In Corpus Christi, I got my own street. Running this shit like it's a track meet. I had to go back home, I seen too many niggas out of weed. Get my dogs black wealth, let them live well. What a miracle we dream, a million stories to tell. You are now tuned in, baby, to the new classic. New machine, keep the peace, keep them dancing. Don't shoot up the party, don't shoot up the party. Please, please don't shoot up the party. Don't shoot up the party. Please, please don't shoot up the party. Don't shoot up my party.
In the back, standing on their tippy toes. Don't give a damn what the journalists wrote. Always dead inside like they in the catacombs. On the prowl like a lion in a storm. Watching for the prey that might slit his throat. It's about time that I let your ass know. Y'all deserve the guillotine even more. Kiss my ass, chew my balls like it's mistletoe. Fuck glass, get cash by the truckload. Lay this album with my dogs, but the city closed. You in for a hell of a ride. This a good time, know I'm damn right. Order every single bottle of the best wine. Fuck if I know, need it all though. Dedicate this to my family in Chicago.
Stay down, I'm sorry. Stay down, you're ugly. Oh, 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 your people need more than money. These white people don't love me. Oh, 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 stay down, I'm sorry. Stay down, I'm hungry. Oh, 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 don't need you to love me. Fuck you, come fuck me. I know. Don't shoot up the party. Don't shoot. Know what I've been through. What's the issue? Why you gotta grab that pistol? Think about who gon' miss you. Never know what they might do. Don't shoot up the party. Don't shoot up the
That's going to be incredible live.
Yeah, I can't wait. That's going to be fun.
Crazy party track.
Yeah.
How'd that one happen?
Just jamming. Yeah, everyone was jamming and I grabbed the mic. I was freestyling, like just trying new things.
Yeah.
And it went on for like 45 minutes to an hour.
So cool.
And then we just started editing it kind of like, oh, this part could be the hook. Then don't shoot the party part. Then we spent the rest of the night like everyone just writing their verses. I was afraid of it at first. I felt like it was like kind of cheesy. And I was like, oh, it's not hard enough. I love it so much now though.
It's so good. It's so good in that it's like, what it's talking about is clearly serious and hard. And the music is just this party.
Yeah.
And that juxtaposition is so cool.
I think it wasn't fully there yet at first when I was hating on it. Sonically, it just wasn't fully realized. And I think once, we kept pushing it towards the party thing, like you're saying, and it started to like make all of us love it way more.
Yeah, it's just cool. The contrast between what it's talking about and the feeling of the music is really cool.
Yeah, I love that.
Dear Lord, Lord, will you come down and help out? Brother, oh, so please, Lord,
want you to let him know that he's alive. So when your love shines through like the light, let him know you want him to fight.
Where do I go now?
So God bless you, love. Healing with your light. Oh, you're praying all the time. Tears showing to the light. Oh, ooh, ooh, holding in your light. Oh, holding in your light. Showing your light. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So when your love shines through like the light. Let him know you want him to fight. Waiting by your side, he just needs your love and your life.
I love that. Thanks. How did it happen?
I was looking for like interludes and stuff like that for the album, and I asked Kieran, I was like, could you go and make like a bunch of interludes? And he said he had this poem that he wrote after he found out the news about Russell's dead. And he just took the poem and turned it into a song with him and his friends, Ryan and Nick. They like all put it together and he played it for us. Like, wow, this is perfect.
Really beautiful. And feels like it adds a whole other dimension to the album that's really good.
Thanks. Yeah, I think it helps keep pushing the message, you know, from when you first hear that, the phone call at the beginning of the album, like just keep kind of going back to that and then having these moments around it that like help highlight the band and Russell and all that stuff. So.
So good. Also the first devotional Rockhampton song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there any touring plans coming up?
I think we're going to Europe, hopefully beginning of next year. And hopefully we get in the studio this summer and make the other album.
Yeah.
But think about your idea.
Yeah, it'd be just to switch it up. And it'll bring a different energy, like a different focused energy when you know it's like...
I think we need that.
This is not... Yeah, it's a good... Could be a good healthy experiment.
Do you think a month is enough time, would you say?
I don't know. It depends on you. Like, I know the Beatles made their first five albums, all five, within 1 month. So... Wow. So it's doable. It's like just depends how different your rhythm is.
Yeah.
It would be good to come up with something both realistic and really challenging when deciding on whatever that number is. You know, right. Like it has to feel like you're in a hurry from the first day.
Yeah.
Because that it'll just make it different. That'll change the whole experience.
That's cool. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
What else can you tell me about it?
It's definitely my favorite album we've made. I found myself like actually listening to it and enjoying it, so super proud. And this conversation makes me want to do the next one.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's really positive.
No, it's super.
Amazing.
Yeah, for real.
Thanks to Kevin Abstract for talking through the making of Brockhampton's latest album with Rick. To hear Roadrunner, New Light, New Machine, and our favorite Brockhampton tracks, head to brokenrecordpodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/brokenrecordpodcast, where you can find all of our new episodes. And you can follow us on Twitter at Broken Record. Broken Record is produced with help from Leah Rose, Jason Gambrell, Martin Gonzalez, Eric Sandler, and Jennifer Sanchez. With engineering help from Nick Chafee, our executive producer is Mia LaBelle. Broken Record is a production of Pushkin Industries. And if you like this show and others from Pushkin Industries, consider becoming a Pushnik. Pushnik is a podcast subscription that offers bonus content and uninterrupted ad-free listening for $4.99 a month. Look for Pushnik exclusively on Apple Podcast subscriptions. And if you like the show, please remember to share, rate, and review us on your podcast app. Our theme music is by Kenny Beats. I'm Justin Richmond.